Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 25th of November. We're getting toward the end of November, so it means we need to have an open line. We do this once a month. It's a chance for you to suggest guests, topics, books you've read that you think would be great interviews. We do it for you to help us become more involved in the program. I know you already are, but you've given us great suggestions in the past, and we certainly welcome them this morning. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Or if you can't get through and you'd like to send emails, let me give you our email address, too. Let's not do on-air emails because this is a chance for you to talk, but you can always send emails to Rhonda. Her email address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunnk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. And we like to hear from you, always. You send suggestions, not just on open line days. You're always welcome to. Okay, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655. Wayne from Spooner is our first caller. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Wayne.
Something that I have wondered about are corporate charters. What was the purpose of them? How are they being enforced properly? I understand that one of the things was a CEO from one company would maybe sit on two or three other boards of directors. Is this permissible? Are they being adhered to?
Okay, corporate charters. And who we get for a discussion like that?
I beg pardon?
Who would we get for such a discussion? Do you know?
I don't know.
I know.
I want to go to the brains of the outfit and fight and ask you.
All right. Well, maybe that can be woven into a conversation at some point, too. I'm sure we've probably had a guest on recently who could have answered that for you, and I don't know who it is, but keep that in your mind, too, when it seems like we got somebody smart on who might be able to answer.
I would hope, and I will. I'll be in contact.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Tom from Stoddard. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I would like to suggest a setup nationally for a house swap. I was just talking to a cousin, or rather a nephew, who is being transferred to Texas from the car factories in the Janesville area. And he's getting transferred to Texas. And, of course, they may have a situation where they need to sell their house. And then I seen later in the day a big front page article in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And they are getting websites set up for exchanging houses, different setups where people can arrange to sell their houses to each other. And I think it would be a very beneficial situation for people in the nation.
Okay. Thanks, Tom, very much for your suggestion. We go next to George from Chaseburg. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you've had this fellow on, but his name is Richard Heinberg, and I think he previously wrote a book called Peak Oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the book was published last year called Peak Everything. I just checked it out of the library a couple of weeks ago and read it, and it's very interesting. And I'm sort of dismayed by, even though the Obama folks are talking about green jobs and everything, that, I don't know, I think recovery of the economy sort of is, you know, at some point we've got to sort of slow it down or turn it back because, you know, the resources of the world are finite. And Mr. Heinberg points this out quite astutely.
Okay. Peak Everything is the name of it.
Peak Everything.
Okay. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. Bob is next from Merrill. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Hello.
I got about a million questions and topics, but I'm trying
to... You have
to
a million?
At least. I'm trying to figure out what percentage of the American population is actually paying for all this, because if we've got... I saw on the TV recently there's 10% in prison. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that is right. It was I read that figure somewhere,
yeah.
And I said, this can't be right. And then I read it again, and it said 10%, right?
Okay. So, and you got at least 10% that are retired getting Social Security, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got they claim 7% unemployment, which is probably actually 10. So you're down to 70% of the people, and now what percentage of that is working for local, state, or federal government, or in the military, or police, or whatever? And then what's left? I mean, it seems like 20% of the population is paying for 100% of the wages for the government.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know where it can go.
Okay.
And I don't know who you could get for a guest on that, but...
It's a good question to weave perhaps into another one of our conversations about the economy.
It seems like there's not enough people working. I mean, because people that are working, a lot of them are minimum wage or not paying taxes. So it's a very small percentage that's paying for everything.
Right.
And it's not the big guys.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, Bob. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dawn from Madison. Hi.
Hi. The first guy who called in was asking about the corporate charters.
Right.
I have thought, I know the person you could talk about that. It would be Tom Hartman. He wrote a book called Unequal Protection. It's the rise of corporate dominance and the theft of human rights.
Hmm.
Really, it was a really good book.
Okay. Is it fairly new, Dawn? Or?
Yeah. Let me see here. Well, he continually writes about all this stuff, and first published 2002.
Okay,
but this book would be it doesn't date itself. You know, it's always appropriate.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. All right. Anything else?
No, I'm just standing here looking at my library, trying to think of other books. That's all I have for now.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Rich from Sullivan. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
Hello.
Toni Morrison has a new book out titled A Mercy, and I've been looking back at something I imagined her saying, but she actually did say it to Ed Bradley on 60 Minutes years ago. She said, with very few exceptions, I feel that white people will betray me, that in the final analysis they'll give me up. If the truck pass and they have to make a choice, they'll put me on that truck. In this economic meltdown, when we have our first black president, I'd really be interested in two things. An interview with Toni Morrison about her work, and particularly about black-white relations, because she did say in the same interview that her father would never let white people into his house.
Really?
And that she's not quite like that. The other thing I've been trying to search out is I remember from a college lecture I heard once that William Faulkner said somewhere, or maybe it was just the interpretation of the professor, that if America will ever be redeemed from its history of slavery and extermination of near extermination of Native peoples, American Indians, and with Thanksgiving around the corner, that's on my mind. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Thank you. You too, Rich.
I'm wondering if you could get a Faulkner scholar on to sort of reflect on Faulkner's Nobel acceptance speech and also the complexities of his understanding of black-white relationships in the United States of America.
Okay,
thank you so
all
much.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Rich. Always great suggestions from Rich. Joe is next from Wausau. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen. Love your show. I would like you to have a guest on, possibly a representative from law enforcement officers against prohibition, to talk about not only the huge economic cost of locking up nonviolent offenders who have jobs and are being productive in the economy and aren't hurting anybody, but also the human cost and how the effects of the criminalization of certain drugs really does nothing but push people further into poverty and further towards crime instead of pulling them away from the drugs and alternative options we can do than just criminalizing these substances.
We haven't done a show on prisons in ages, so we're hearing a couple people call with ideas along those lines. We will do that.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. We just been talking about other things, but we will do that. Hank is next from Milwaukee. Hello, Hank.
Yeah, hi, Kathleen. I love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to hear something about how the common man person can get involved in alternative energy systems. Maybe, like, for instance, if you want to put a wind power generator in your house, you know, on top of your house, or if you have a business, or some of these options. And then also maybe how you can, you know, get an electric car going, or convert your car into electric, or something that, as a grassroots, on a grassroots level, that, you know, like a how-to manual or something, somebody that would know about that.
Sure, that'd be a good show.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure that there are such people around. Good, thank you.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Hank. Bye. Dave from Madison, hello.
Well, good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Well, terrific. First of all, let me say that I feel blessed that we have Wisconsin Public Radio and Television. You guys do a great job. You never get the credit you deserve.
Thank you, Dave.
Let me bring up an issue that's continually on my mind lately, and that is that in the aftermath of the election, Kathleen, we continue to hear about the middle class. It's almost this mantra about the middle class, or conversely, alternatively, the wealthy. Well, let's forget those folks for a minute, shall we? And let's concentrate on the folks that are the unheard, the folks that don't have a home. Those below the poverty line in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have the statistics, Kathleen, but this is concerning me as we get into the cold weather here in a week of Thanksgiving. Have we turned our back on those below the poverty line? Are children in Wisconsin going to bed at night without eating? I mean, how this issue is being ignored is amazing to me. And I compliment you and your staff on the great topics that you tend to bring to the fore each and every day. But this one seems to have slipped through the cracks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Did anybody else hear this? I'm sure it was NPR. I was listening to probably last week, and there was, you know, it's one of those things you can't listen real carefully because you arrive at where you were and you didn't hear the whole report. And usually you can stay in the car, but not if you're on your way to work. It was something about someplace in Colorado. Do you remember this? We should do a show on this, but related to it, where there was excess produce from farmers in Colorado, so they offered it to people who needed it, and they said thousands and thousands of people showed up for this. I mean, an incredible number of people. So I'm with you, Dave. I think we should do a show on that. Thank you. Let's go to Nancy from Madison. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, hi. I've been curious for quite a while about the think tanks that you see on television and hear about them on the radio and their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to just compare the philosophies of the different think tanks, how people are appointed to them, and who pays their salaries.
Okay. Okay, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Our number is 800-486-8655. It's open line time for the month of November. So call with suggestions you have for shows, books, guests, topics, more of what you've already heard, a new angle on what you've heard, or something you just haven't heard. And so far, it's been things we haven't heard. So these are good suggestions today. 800-486-8655, or send emails if you'd like. Rhonda's address is fanning@wpr.org. And mine is dunk@wpr.org. We have a new member of our team who is answering phones today, too, Rob Schroeder, but I don't know his email yet, so otherwise I'd flood his inbox with emails. If he wants to give it to me, that would be all right. All right, more phone calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we return to your phone calls now. Let's go to Steve from Rice Lake. Hi, Steve.
Yep, good morning.
Hello.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, the first caller asked about someone to speak to the corporate charter concept. And the first two people that come to mind on that are Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N. They show up frequently as articulate spokespeople on that topic on the talk shows, and they co-authored a book in 2006 called Off Center, and they both have written other books since then. So either Jacob Hacker or Paul Pearson are good people on that concept, and it is important.
Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
We've got a beagle mix here.
Oh. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Bye. Let's go to Tim from Madison. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Real quick, I just want to echo something that was said in one of the first hours with Joy Cardine about a show on credit derivatives, or they're also called credit default swaps. And it's an incredible story. I was just reading about it on the Internet last night that, you know, the credit default swap thing was passed in 99, 11,000-page bill, no debate at all with Congress, and Clinton was the one that signed it in. But basically, it's completely unregulated. There are no oversight of it at all. There's no, like, exchange like, you know, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange or anything. There's nothing that regulates it. And basically what it is, it's kind of like options where you're betting something's going to go up or betting it's going to go down. But options are regulated and do have some kind of an exchange that goes with it. But this credit default swap is on a much larger scale. You can bet against companies, bet against major indexes. Mm-hmm. And Buffett, of all people, who was against it in his 2002 shareholder letter, has now dipped into this credit default swaps with betting against major indices. I don't know. It's like if they go down, he owes them $37 billion, but now that he put them out there, and it's 10 years down the road, like from 2019 to 2027, something like that. But if some major indices like the S&P 500 goes down, then he owes money from his company, I guess. But if they right now just for buying these credit default swaps or whatever interaction it was, he gets $4 billion, which he can use to invest however he wants. But he was against it, but now he's for it. And there's this guy that they talked about in the Joy Cardine Hour named Lawrence or something like that out of Monroe. He's just an ordinary guy that's been talking against this derivative thing for a long time, but
Laverne,
that's mm-hmm. it. Okay, but you know, if you could kind of go over this, it's mm-hmm. pretty complex stuff. But explain it in simple terms. It's led to the demise of AIG, and it's all sounds like it kind of got started in very, very fishy circumstances.
Okay.
I don't know who you'd want to have talk about it, but somebody.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Anne from Madison. Hi.
Hi. Well, that last guest was really great. Eudora Welty lived in Jackson, Mississippi. It must be a real oasis of enlightenment in the Deep South. But I would like to hear Gore Vidal. You rarely hear him anywhere in the United States. He's getting pretty old now.
Yeah.
And he really is underexposed. But he wrote about a year after 9/11. A little book, Perpetual War for Perpetual Peace. That's a subtitle. I can't remember the title. It's about 100 pages long, and his thesis is that Bush and Cheney declared that the attacks of 9/11 were a war rather than a criminal attack, so that American insurance companies wouldn't have to pay the claims of the victims who died and were injured and surrounding property owners, because those claims would be such a heavy burden on our insurance companies. And I think that that's true. I think this war is a total fraud from beginning to end, just like everything else this administration has perpetuated. I'd really like to hear him. He's really an interesting, kind of a difficult interviewee, but, you know, very interesting.
Right. I think we've tried to get him, not for a while, in, but he's terribly difficult to get booked for a show. Terribly difficult.
He's given a bad deal. You know, he feels the American media has kind of treated him badly because he's, you know, he says what he thinks, and
right.
he's been kind of shut out. Maybe that's part of it. I think mm-hmm. he lives in California now.
Okay. We'll try again.
Okay.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Bye. Susan is next. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm interested in a couple of things. One of them is comparing the different health insurance plans that other countries have. I think there have been programs like that before, but at the same time with this new administration and a lot of new interest in this, I think it would be a very good program
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, what are the, you know, we hear so much negative about the Canadian system or socialistic systems, but I think it would be
okay.
A lot of this. And then the other thing is, I'm interested in what is the name of that book, the one that had the 8 economic rights. I think that would be another really good program. And I was listening, and I just didn't get the title of that book. But I think those 8 economic rights would be another good program.
Oh, the book from last hour? The person who called in? Right. It's somebody from the University of Chicago.
I don't know if you recall the name of the book.
I don't have my... I tend to write things down, but I don't have it with me right now because I didn't know you were going to call.
Sure.
Yeah.
That, I think, would be a very good program as
okay.
well.
Okay. All right, Susan. Thank you. What's in the background? Is that a bird or a dog?
It's a dog. I'm grooming it right now.
Oh, what kind of dog?
It's a golden, a big golden doodle
on
my grooming table.
Oh, and how are those with people who have allergies?
I guess they're good. I guess they're good for that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just that I think as a first dog, I don't know if people realize how big they get. They're huge.
They are big. Yeah. I like
to
big
take
dogs.
Care of them.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you go back to your work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye. Let's go next to Barb from Menominee Falls. Hi, Barb.
Hello.
Hi, Barb.
At Call to Action and at the SOA vigil this last weekend, I heard about the Global Marshall Plan, and it's a plan to for all world's people to work together in solidarity to eliminate poverty and heal the environmental crisis. And they called it the Marshall Plan because they said many Americans still remember with pride that our country acted generously to help others, and the programs actually worked.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, trying to eliminate fear. You know, the right has said that, you know, tried to convince Americans that we're giving a huge part of our budget to aid with poverty, but really the facts show the opposite. So they'd like a non-biased, ungovernmental agency to give out funds and have, like, a international peace corps and that type of thing. And the people that would be able to talk about this would be either Rabbi Michael Lerner from California, or Benedictine Joan Chittister.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Barb.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye. Mary from Fenimore is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I've been reading several fascinating books, and I think it's things that would make people perhaps stop and think. They're about fetal alcohol syndrome, and the statistics show that there's a huge number of children and adults alike who have disabilities that perhaps come from brain damage because their mothers consumed alcohol while they were in utero. And they're often blamed for other things. They're told they're lazy or whatever. But a person who's done some writing on this is, her name is Jodee, J-O-D-E-E, Culp, and she's written a book called Our Fascinating Journey, and it has keys to brain potential along the path of prenatal brain injury.
Hmm.
And it's just a fascinating book. There's another book that she and her daughter have written together. Her adopted daughter also had that diagnosis, and
mm-hmm.
so that's what got her into it. Jodee gives workshops and is... it is recognized by many people as being a wonderful resource on talking about this. And so I'm hoping you might be able to track her down. Her publisher is, let me see here, I've got it. Better, just a minute. I should have my glasses on. Better Beginnings.
Better Beginnings. Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye.
Steele is next. Hi, Steele.
Yeah, good morning. Maybe if you could find some professor one day talking about CAFE standards, the emissions for vehicles. I read, and there's, you know, like five tiers. The bigger car, the more you can have. And the average mile per gallon in Europe and Japan is 40 miles per gallon, and the U.S. 22.6. Maybe a comparison of you know the standards. I was reading in Europe, the car companies are crying because they don't want to lower theirs right now. And then maybe one time just to kick lying dogs. You know, the everyone's crying at the automakers for all the big SUVs, but starting in 96 to encourage business investment, the government gave out huge tax breaks to buy huge trucks. So, you know, who started the Anyway.
Good. Yeah, those are good. There's a phenomenal amount of interest among our audience in car-related subjects. There just is, in the bailout thing and the vision and American cars. And I didn't realize that the CAFE standards were that different in Europe.
I don't quite understand, because they go by kilograms per kilometer, and we have the U.S., and, you know, a lot of European cars aren't allowed in the U.S., and really how much, because that's just the average. Just a quick example, the smart car in Europe, in the U.S., they had to put a different engine, and they burn premium gas, so they can't even use the same engine they use in Europe. And so I want to, maybe someone that got some brains can, you know, discuss exactly how much is getting, you know, put out the tailpipe in each country.
Well, we like to get people who have brains on the show, so that's, we'll do it.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Diane from La Crosse. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning.
Hi.
I have a thought about getting somebody to talk about, somebody had called in earlier, I think, about doing some environmental things around the house.
Yes.
Or things you could do. And I was thinking of Ed Begley Jr. He's got a show, it's called Living with Ed.
Okay.
And he's got a book out, and I think it's called Living Like Ed.
Oh.
But he's on the, I think it's like the Green Network or whatever it is now. But he and his wife, they have a half-an-hour show, and it's kind of done documentary style, but it's very entertaining. Mm. And he has guests on, like Bill Nye, the science guy, who is his neighbor, and they're always talking about things that they're doing with their house.
Oh.
You know, like putting in solar panels and just things like that. And it's very entertaining, but it's also educational, too.
Sure.
And he really knows, I think he really knows what he's talking about. I think he's kind of been an environmentalist for about 25 years.
Right.
So,
and he had an electric car, too, didn't he? Wasn't he in that documentary? Oh, he'd be a great guest. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, it might be kind of fun.
Sure would be. Thank you, Diane.
All right.
Bye. Ken from Madison is next. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Kathleen. Top of the morning to you.
And to you as well.
Thank you. It seems like now that the election's over, everyone has kind of gone to sleep on the thing, and I think that's a really bad idea. I think it was basically the progressive idea of in the Democratic Party that got Barack Obama elected, and now is really the time, really right now, to, you know, nip it in the bud and keep his feet to the fire, as it were. And I'd like to suggest, again, I know you've had Mr. Jeremy Scahill on, of course, the author of that great book, award-winning book, Blackwater. And but he's got a recent post on a thing called alternet.org. It's called So This Is Change. And he has some interesting observations and also historical references to Obama's recent picks for his cabinet, etc., like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'd like to recommend that you have Jeremy on again.
Oh, we always love to have Jeremy as a guest. He's just, he's brave and smart, and we really like him. So.
And he's from Milwaukee.
I know he is.
Can't be all bad.
I know. What more can you ask for, right?
Yeah, very, very interesting young man. And he's got a lot going on. It's an 8-page thing, if anyone wants to check it out. It's very long. But he goes into, you know, like a lot of the record on these guys. And I think this is the time, really, not to go to sleep about this what we need to have done in the country.
And his piece, because I know people will ask, is at alternet.org.
Yes, alternet, like alternate, alternet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken, very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye-bye. Matt from Middleton is next. Hi, Matt.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm kind of wondering if maybe WPR could take a look at some of the lawsuits that are still going on about the Obama and his natural-born citizen status. The Supreme Court has accepted to review the case, and I haven't heard anything in the mainstream media about it.
What are you talking about?
There was a lawsuit filed by an attorney, D'Onofrio, and it worked its way up through the state courts, and he petitioned on November 3rd for a stay of the election to the Supreme Court. And one of the clerks at the Supreme Court said, I'm not going to submit it to the justices because I don't think it has merit. Well, what ultimately happened was it got to Justice Souter on November 6th, and he initially denied it, and D'Onofrio resubmitted, which he's allowed to do, to Clarence Thomas, and Clarence Thomas accepted the petition, and they're going to discuss it on December 5th. And in this normal discussion where the justices decide which cases they're going to hear, if four of them vote to hear the case, there'll be an actual oral public arguments. And if five of the justices vote to say that either A, he's not a natural born citizen, or B, he has to produce documentation, the entire election could be thrown out. If they decide that his natural born citizen status doesn't meet the constitutional requirements. So we're right back to where we were with Bush and Cheney, with the Supreme Court potentially having the ability to decide the election yet. And this is scheduled for December 5th for if they're going to decide if they're going to hear it. And if they hear it, this could potentially happen before the electors meet on the 15th to cast their votes for the next president. And if the Supreme Court rules that he's not a natural born citizen, then the electors would not be allowed to vote for him. And then there would be a question as to what happens next. Would John McCain get in by default? Would there be a new election? And I haven't heard anything in the mainstream media about this. And a very similar case is happening in California, where Alan Keyes brought up the very same thing, and he's petitioning to have the California Supreme Court bar the Secretary of State from submitting the electors until she verifies that he is a natural born citizen. And since it was actually a candidate for president, it can't be dismissed because he does have bearing to bring it. He would be injured, I guess that's the term that they use, since he lost the election. So that is also another case that's pending, both of which could, if any of them get decided in the plaintiff's favor, would, I think, cast serious doubt on the validity of Barack Obama's presidency.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Somehow this guy's president. You can't go through that, laborious 2-year process and not have this come up. That's why it's not a story. It's not a story.
Well, a similar thing happened earlier in this country where we had a Constitution Party or one of the other parties, one of the candidates was running. He got on the ballot in a bunch of states, and a constitutional question came up to the Supreme Court that says, hey, this guy's not 35, and he had never been vetted. It was all the way up to the actual election day.
You don't think this president has not been vetted?
Well, there is no requirement to be vetted because at the lower sections, it's only the political party that certifies the person. The Secretary of State, all of that never happens until after the election.
Okay. Thanks, Matt, for the call. We'll talk about it when it becomes a story, if it should become a story. Fritz from Fish Creek is next. Hi, Fritz.
Well, good morning.
Hi, Fritz.
I know you've been talking with different economists and that, but one of the questions I've always wanted to ask them is, consumers are responsible for 70% of our gross national product, and is that a historic number, or, say in the 50s, was it less? We consumers have a lot of responsibility to this economy, and we better get out there and do our part.
What are you going to do, Fritz?
Well, as soon as I'm off the phone, I'm going for breakfast. How about that?
Oh, that's my favorite thing in the world is to go out. Not my favorite thing in the world, but I love to go out for breakfast. Skip dinner, skip lunch, it's breakfast.
Yeah, another thing with the economy is, are there other ideas? I mean, these people that are making all the decisions are real tight with that establishment, even the, Obama people. And are there new ideas on how an economy functions? Well, that's another thought.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Fritz. Have a good breakfast.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Tom from Columbus. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Hi.
Where else but Wisconsin Public Radio can even an open line call lead you to so many jot downs that could give me a winter's worth of reading and research just off of ideas that your smart audience has? Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
And to you.
I'm a driver, commercial driver, and currently on my way to Clintonville. And we had a talk recently, a safety meeting, and a pep talk basically from the president of the Wisconsin Truckers Association, Trucking Association. And it struck me as to how informative this gentleman was and how the industry as a whole has changed. Not only the diversity amongst the people in the business, not just the men and women and the growing number of women exponentially. It's unbelievable. But how that is changing, how the medical requirements are changing, how the emissions are changing, how, you know, save for the firefighters and police officers and men and women that keep our water and lights going, how, you know, after 9/11, you know, we were the people that kept rolling, but most people would glued to their TVs. It was very inspirational. But more than that, just what's coming down the pike, so to speak, as far as the emissions and the health and the changing environment and the market trend, it was so multifaceted. And, and doing this for 25 years almost now, I don't think that, I think I left with more questions and more, you know, more research intended than any meeting I've ever been. And it was extremely important. I wish I had the gentleman's name at my fingertips, and I did have a document, but I cannot find it, particularly going down the road. But I will drop you an email find that. And it was extremely, extremely interesting. And I think with such an intelligent audience, and they're always looking for input. They're looking for General Motorist input, you know, to see what can be done better.
So, sure. Thank you, Tom. Thanks very much for the call. You can send us emails. Mine is dunk@wpr.org. Rhonda's is fanning@wpr.org. What do you think? Call. You send us emails if you don't get through today, and send them anytime, actually. Carol is next from Gutenberg, Iowa. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. I think one of your last callers, Fritz, talked about new ideas for investing or new ideas for the economy.
Right.
And I would really, really like to see you have somebody on to talk about alternative investing and sustainable investing as opposed to investing in 401ks and Fortune 500 companies to get, you know, if we could start a Fortune 5000 or something with local, like even Wisconsin, new Wisconsin businesses.
Sure.
I mean, there still must be people out there who have money to invest right in their own businesses. You know, even if looking at Thanksgiving here and people who are starting to see hurt, you know, take somebody who's in, you know, another employee or a peer at work who's hurting and say, okay, I can maybe even lend you, not give you, but lend you some, you know, make you a small loan. And in a certain amount of time, you know, when you get on your feet, maybe that money can come back to me, and it would go a long way to social and spiritual health in our economy.
Right. We've done that with Kiva, some friends of mine. We've been getting together on the holidays for years and years, and last year we decided we would do this, and the loan we gave, you know, has already been repaid less than a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, so we need a program on what to do with money we may have now and new ideas. I like that.
Okay.
We'll fashion it.
Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Yeah.
Bye. Let's go to Buck from Madison. Hi, Buck.
Hi.
Hi.
One of four. Here's a nice idea to consider. You know, peak oil is the supposed maximum after which we're running out, right? Well, uranium is a limited substance. So have a show on peak uranium.
Okay.
If you go on the web and look for it, there's articles on this, and it looks like we've got, at current and modestly increased use, we've got like 40 years, and then the planet's out of uranium. So much for nuclear power, right?
Yeah, right.
So, please, have someone knowledgeable tell us about this.
All right, Beck.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. More suggestions momentarily. 800-486-8655 is our number. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We go back to your phone calls now and to Pat from Eau Claire. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I would like to hear a journalist called Ufavia Quistarkton. I think I said it right. She's on BBC and NPR News at the Hour a lot.
Okay. Yes, yes.
She's very knowledgeable about what's going on in Africa.
Okay.
And has a lot of insight on that, about Zimbabwe and Congo. And maybe the Somalian pirates.
Okay.
Would be interesting.
Okay. Sure, it would be. Good.
And that's all I have.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Charles is next from Appleton. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd love to hear a program on the reasons we still have the embargo against Cuba. It just seems like such a silly thing to have when we still trade with Japan or China. excuse me. And I've been to the island several times, and it's a wonderful place to visit. The people are warm. The people are great. And people my age, I was born in 1959, you know, we grew up with the embargo, and we kind of got lost in the shuffle. Not many Americans really know why it's there or what it's all about.
Okay. And I'm sure there will be a change in policy come January, huh?
But I'm hoping so.
We'll talk about that. Okay. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye. Lynn is next from Madison. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'm calling about a Wisconsin author. His name is Terry Lynch, and he just recently came out with a new book that I think is quite interesting. It's called But I Don't Want Elder Care.
Oh.
And it's basically a book aimed at people in their 40s and 50s who are concerned about their elderly parents and trying to figure out how best to help them stay out of a nursing home, maintain their quality of life, maintain their independence. And he's got some really great practical strategies, and there's a lot of good stories, too. So I was thinking he'd be a great guest because he's pretty glib. He's a good storyteller. And, in fact, his own story of moving back from Washington, D.C. to help his elderly mom in Racine maintain her quality of life and stay out of a nursing home is a really moving story.
Huh.
And the book's gotten a lot of good reviews.
Okay.
He's been interviewed on some local radio shows, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't been on Wisconsin Public Radio yet. So, and in terms of contacting him, you can just Google on his name, and he's got a website, so it's pretty easy to find him.
Great. You know, it's life is funny sometimes, but Rhonda and I were talking about this as a subject for tomorrow, actually, and she was looking at somebody who's been blogging on this, so we'll pass along this information and see if we might be able to get Terry for tomorrow.
Great.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
Yeah,
you think about something, and then it's in front of you all day. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Bye. Let's go to Kevin from Monroe. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, outstanding. Hey, actually, I have something really kind of lighthearted. Dr. David Wolf, he's with NASA. He's just very interesting to listen to. He's been out to the space station two or three times and just fascinating to listen to.
Where have you heard him?
I've heard him on a couple other radio programs.
Oh, okay.
They're very interesting, very captivating. He's got a lot of knowledge on the future space program and just some interesting hindsight on what's going on up there now.
Great. All right, Kevin.
I appreciate it.
Thank
your time.
You. Sure.
Yeah,
thanks.
Day.
Yeah, you too. Don from Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Don.
Hey there. How you doing?
All right. You?
Doing great.
Good.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm always trying to write down ideas I hear and things I got to look up on open line days. Way to get dishwater all over everything I'm writing. So, you had a caller or a couple callers actually earlier that talked about getting advice or guidance on getting alternative stuff on their houses, like the solar panels or wind turbines and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a company working in central Wisconsin that they're generalists. It's called Padma Gonpo Inc.
I'm sorry, can you spell that?
Yeah, PadmaGonpo Inc. And I ran into them up at the Menasha Energy Fair that was thrown by the Menasha Utilities. And these guys seem to have a real good grasp on not only the regional resources that can help you do that, but they're not like specialists. They do solar power and wind power, and they even have some vehicles that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great website at www.padmagonpoinc.com. That's all run together in one word. .com. So
okay.
www.padmagonpoinc.com. And I believe the president lives in Neenah. So he'd be easy to get a hold of. And a fascinating guy. Gosh, I must have talked to him for an hour or better at the fair there. But real fascinating guy, real smart, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might be an interesting guest to have on.
I would think so. Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome. And I used to live in Mackinac City, Michigan, where Ed Begley has a house. So I've seen him go around town in his vehicles.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we'll try to book him. That would be a good show.
Wonderful.
All
Thank
right.
you very much, Kathy.
Thank you. Thanks, Don, for the call. Janine from Green Bay.
Good morning. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
I'm upset about the mental health care in the United States. I was hospitalized for 10 days because I went off my medication. Okay. You get no therapy. Their goal is to stabilize you on drugs. No therapy at all. What was I going to say? Okay, I'm excited. I did get a notice from my insurance company recently. They will pay me $3 or $4 a session at the Y for exercise, but you get no therapy for anything in the hospital because insurance companies won't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and another issue. This is completely off the subject in a way. I'm bipolar. No one has ever said, I'll pray for you. I developed bladder cancer, could have been from the medication I take. Everybody, I'll pray for you. Get better. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
David is next. Hi, David.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure.
Great show. Say, there's an issue that's out there about arbitration agreements prior to going into nursing homes. Seniors are required by nursing homes to ask seniors going into nursing homes to sign an arbitration agreement. And typically what happens is they're asking them to sign away their rights for any type of litigation before anything happens. Senator Cole and Senator Feingold have been real strong leaders in this to abolish, to make it illegal for nursing homes to do that. There's no other businesses in the United States that are allowed to put this forward to their customers. You only offer them afterwards. Arbitration is there for, if something happens, it's to avoid court cases and court costs. But the nursing homes have been using that to... And what has happened over the last 15 years is the quality of nursing care has really gone down in nursing homes because there's no fear of litigation.
Mm-hmm.
So Senator Cole has worked really hard at passing a law. It's before the Senate right now, or it'll be before the Senate after Obama becomes president to help and hopefully outlaw this. So I was wondering if you could get some sort of an expert on to enlighten people about the problem that's at hand.
Okay.
I know of a good expert that might help. There's an attorney in Portage by the name of Jason Studinski, and he is a real community advocate about helping this and helping resolve this. He's not your typical lawyer. He's a great guy.
He's not your typical lawyer. He's a great guy. What does that mean?
It's not about the money. It's about
I understand.
What's right and wrong.
I understand. Yeah. All right, good.
About that. I didn't mean to disparage lawyers. Not all of them are sharks.
That's right. There are a lot of great lawyers. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Mary is next from Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Yes, with all the news about Georgia before the financial crisis, there is a group of small band from Africa, came out of Africa and settled in the Caucasus Mountains, and part of that band moved into Europe, and I was wondering if you could have an archaeologist, trace the trail of how Europe was settled.
Okay. How Europe was settled. Okay, Mary, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. You can call now if you didn't get through. We probably have time for a couple more calls. 800-486-8655 is the number, and Philip is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Philip.
Hi. I'd like to correct somebody who made a statement about people retired not paying taxes. I've been retired for 16 years, and I'm paying plenty of taxes. But what I would like to recommend is that somehow we have a program dedicated to the memory of the late, great Frank Seidler. He was not only known in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, he was known throughout the country and the world. And there is a committee wants to have an annual memorial lecture. They had Jeremy Scahill last March, and somebody from that committee or a local historian, I think, could do a good job on that.
Okay. And Jeremy was with us on that day, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, he was our guest on that day.
Our committee arranged for that.
Oh, yeah. He was a great guest. And Seidler, of course, a wonderful man. Yeah.
That's it.
All right, Philip. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. One more call, probably. Mike from Green Bay. Hi.
Hi there. Hey, if you're going to talk about peak uranium and peak oil, we should also talk about peak population in the same show.
All right. We need that guest who wrote the book Peak Everything, right?
That's right.
Wrap it all into one.
think so.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. That's all the time we'll have, everybody. So I would recommend that if you didn't get through this particular hour, you should send us emails and say, here's what I'd like to have on the air. Rhonda Fanning, producer of the show, her email is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk at WPR.org. And we welcome your thoughts about what you'd like to hear from 9 to 11 all the time. A lot of strong themes here today, so we will be on the move to get peak everything guests and many others as well. It was a good open line. Thanks for your calls. News is coming up from National Public Radio. We will be with you tomorrow from 9 until 11, and there are great hours of conversation ahead. I'm Kathleen Dunn. It's a minute before 11 o'clock, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.